Do you want to sing on that?
Thank you.
Okay. I suppose you all are aware of the fact that tomorrow is a famous birthday day and all that sort of a thing. Isn't that tomorrow? It's Robert E. Lee's birthday. I suppose you all knew that. They're celebrating tomorrow's birthday. Robert E. Lee. It was his birthday tomorrow. And last week was General James Longstreet's birthday on January 8th. And on the 21st will be Stonewall Jackson's birthday. Are Moonfixer on there this morning? I don't think they're going to be there today, but he'll get this eventually. So that was Stonewall Jackson's birthday is coming up on the 21st. And then on January 28th is George Pickett, General Pickett's birthday. And they call this the General's Month. These are some of the best generals America's ever had, and you read about them, and Robert E. Lee was still considered to be the probably the best general America's ever had. And they also talk about Stonewall Jackson, that if he would have survived, he would have probably won the war, and he followed the Bible for his war patterns and the whole spiel. Quite a thing to study and read about the generals of the South, you know, when they shot their own man, General Jackson. So here's your quiz. I'll give them to you before you leave. So make sure you, Olivia, make sure that you remind us. Give me all these other things, because we'll break that. And if you want to read about those generals, that's pretty interesting. Lee is the only graduate of where did I read it? West Point, I think it was. He was the only graduate from West Point that didn't get any demerits from their behavior stuff. And Jackson gave classes to black Sunday school kids, so the media's got it all messed up. They always have. Let's just continue this morning. We are in lesson 5 with how to understand the King James Bible. We're gonna make this into the main feature this morning because this is the main stuff right here. We have in the past couple Sundays we've gone over the scriptures. What are the scriptures? Then we looked at the fact that the King James Bible is the scriptures today. And then we looked at rightly dividing the word of truth last week. And then this morning we looked back at the past, looked at the Old Testament, we looked at the Gospels, which are still considered Old Testament, and we looked at the Great Commission, which did exist. It did take place. It was the apostles' doctrine that was taught. It did come with signs and wonders and miracles and healings and all those things. It did come with God's blessings as such. It's just the fact that and the apostles were treated horribly during the whole thing, which is nothing new. Jesus Christ was treated horribly. The apostles were treated horribly. Why wouldn't Stephen, the preacher, was treated horribly? Why wouldn't Paul be treated horribly? Why wouldn't Paul's people be treated horribly? Why wouldn't the truth during the tribulation be treated horribly? The truth has never gone over well at any time. But we are very strong in the fact that when you follow Paul's teachings, you want to not ignore the Old Testament. We don't want you to ignore the Gospels. Just learn that the Gospels aren't written to us, they're written there for us. Just learn that Moses in the Old Testament isn't written to us, it's written there for us. And Paul says it's for admonitioning, for our learning. We can't skip that stuff at all. It's just not our doctrine that we should follow. So this morning, right now, we're going to look at Paul. I'm going to give you a string of verses. We're going to look at them. These are the verses that you want to be able to show somebody. You can get them off the internet. The notes are already available online. And we're just going to read through them. And you're going to see, without a shadow of a doubt, without any kind of a shadow of anything, Paul's the one we're supposed to look to learn how to follow and to be a Christian. Now, in Paul's early ministry, he still did have Jews in the crowd. So when you read some of the things that Paul taught, for example, Romans chapter 11, he tells the Gentiles, he tells the world that what God's position is with the Jews. And that is a marvelous chapter to read to understand where God is at with Israel today or with the Jews. They're not to be our enemy, but they are the enemy to the gospel. They don't want the truth. They don't like that. They've never liked that. So that's true. But he's still their beloved. He's still their people. He has not forsaken them. And he will come back to them eventually. We read the book of Galatians. And he spends a lot of his time in Galatians talking about circumcision and uncircumcision. He talks about the law. So if you're stuck with somebody who really insists on the law, and I would say that the Gospels would be considered the law to them, because they go back to the Gospels and say, here's what we have to do. Here's how we have to stop sinning. And take them to Galatians and show them what Christ says to Paul about the law and the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. There's a huge difference there. It's a major, big, important thing. Then if we look at Hebrews, for example, there's another book that Paul wrote to the Hebrews. And we don't need to be going to Hebrews because we're not Hebrews. And when Paul says in Galatians that any doctrine that's taught, any gospel that's taught other than what I've taught, then it's not to be taught. It's accursed if it's taught today with him. And what he teaches in Hebrews is not what he teaches to the Gentiles. It's as plain and simple as that. When you talk to people, the only place they can find final authority from your pastor is in Hebrews. The only place you can find where Jesus will chastise his people physically is in Hebrews and Revelation 3, but in Hebrews. The only place that you can find where you really certainly can lose your salvation is in Hebrews chapter 6. So yeah, it's there, but that's not written to us. So Hebrews to Jude are tribulational books. So we don't look to Hebrews to Jude for anything that tells us other than we can learn from them. Peter talks about faith all the time. These folks in the tribulation will still have to have faith. So we can learn from these people who are having a horrible time and still how to have faith. Because, see, we have difficult times. We tend to kind of lose our faith a little bit. But we have to remember when we read Peter, those people have us over a barrel when it comes to persecution. Then the tribulation. It's going to be hard to maintain faith in the tribulation. We have a hard time maintaining faith today. And all we did was lose a few bucks and lose some land, lose some possessions, lose some freedom, lose some liberties. And that's hard for us. But we aren't ever going to be treated like they're going to be treated in the tribulation. Not even close. The new depression will be hard. The joblessness will be hard. I mean, all sorts of things coming up starting Tuesday that will be very difficult. But nothing like the tribulation. It's so bad in the tribulation that God has to put His Spirit upon their flesh. Acts chapter 2. Otherwise, they won't be able to do it. They couldn't do it in the past. Why do we think we can do it today? And when things get really, really, really rough, and some guy is going to be cast through the sky here in these holograms or whatever, they're going to be able to worship an image as well as the person himself. They're going to be offered a microchip or whatever. All that's going to be taking place. So they're going to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. And all through it all, they're going to have to still have faith. So we can learn from their faith. You know that if you get a divorce in the tribulation, it's over? That's a sin. Paul doesn't teach that. All sorts of comparisons in the tribulation to today. So yeah, they'll have to maintain faith. So we can learn from that. Those people are... But we don't have the consequences that Peter talks about and James and Jude and even John, the consequences. We don't have to worry about those consequences. We have to learn that. So we look to Paul. Is Paul an escape? Yes. I'm okay with that. Let's learn what the risen Christ told Paul to teach to the Gentiles. And that's the stuff that is to us. There. You would think that would do it, wouldn't you, Jimmy? You think that would just, everybody would go, well, that just makes sense. Yes, it does out there. Got to talk to the commercial gallery out there. So, if we look to the book of Acts, we got Acts 1 through 8. That's the Great Commission. That's what's taking place in all the churches today, all over the place. You got the healings, you got the snake playing with, you got the poisons. Those are the radical ones. You've got those that are having favor with all the people. They're bringing in the music. They're bringing in the lower standards. They could care less about anything like that. And they're bringing people into the church. And we know that in Acts 2:47 it says that they're having favor with all the people, and the Lord increased unto them all these souls. And you know, if you go into Timothy, Paul talks about the fact that there are people in a godless society or a godliness society that's got, without the power thereof, they're fake Christians, that they believe that gain is godliness. That's what they teach. That's what they believe. We tend to think that way. Oh, we do not? Yes, we do. Not in our church. We'd like to see more people come. But we know for a fact that the reason some folks aren't here is because they don't like truth. We know that. And we also know that if we're doing well in our homes, if we have a lot of money, we're buying all these games and videos and toys and stuff, we're doing well, then we must be doing right. Listen, this is how we think. This is how America thinks. If you've got the stuff, then you're doing okay. And if you don't have the stuff, then you're just probably not doing right. You've got to get out there and lead a better life, and you can have more stuff. So we tend to think along those lines ourselves. Our kids will be happy. Why? They've got all this stuff. Is that what makes our kids happy? Could it possibly be the fact that they don't look happy is because they've got all this stuff and they're still missing something? See, so we have a tendency to follow this gain, this godliness thing ourselves in our day-to-day living. So, whatever. So we go to the book of Acts, and we have to realize something. Teach this to people if you can. Now, take notes on this part right here. Acts chapter 17 to 18, or else you can get the notes later, no big deal. Acts chapter 17 to 18 was about when the book of Thessalonians was written. That's interesting. If you see what's in Thessalonians and you see what Paul's going on, what's going on in Paul's life, that's about when that thing was written. If you look at Acts 19 and 20, that's when 1 Corinthians was jotted down. Really? Yeah, that's about the time. If you look at Acts 14, towards the end of that chapter, that's when Galatians was written. Really? Yeah, a lot of the New Testament takes place within the book of Acts. Acts is not a book that comes before everything else. Acts is kind of a general history of the whole thing. That's why a number of years ago, and it's online somewhere in there, 2006 or something, where we studied the life of Paul. We studied the life of Paul, not his teachings, but how his life went because of what he taught. Poor guy. He had a horrible time, but he had a joy through it all. If we look at Acts chapter 20 and 21, 2 Corinthians and Romans was written about that time. And then the last part of Acts 26 to 28, that's where we come up with what they call the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. He was in prison when he wrote those. And then after he got out of prison, he got 2 Timothy and Titus. So all those things were written during the book of Acts somewhere in there. Pretty interesting. Now if we look to Acts chapter 9, let's turn to Acts chapter 9. We still haven't proven the fact that we need to follow Paul, so we'll get to that right now. Those are just some background things for us to realize. Acts chapter 9, we see the story of how Paul got started on the road to Damascus. Right? Road to Damascus? I get those roads mixed up. And it's interesting, do you realize that we don't get saved like Paul got saved? Recognize that? In fact, look at... I just hate people that turn pages like that, but now I do. I understand why. So how amazing how your life changes with your opinions as you get older. By the time you're done with life, you know, nobody even wants your opinion, right? So, anyway. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Look at what Paul taught at the very beginning. Isn't that interesting? That's what they had to believe in the Gospels. So, Jesus Christ had to talk to Paul, didn't he? He had to teach him some things quickly. Because he taught that he is the Son of God. That's what he preached. Well, that's what they needed to know. So he started off right where it was left off. He picked it up, and then he told them, as time goes on here, he told them what they had to believe. Now, if we go to Acts chapter 22, we see in detail, again, Paul's personal testimony, because he's talking to a bunch of Jews, what took place on the road. So, that's worth a read. And you'll see some things in there that he was told that he was going to have to do. He was going to be the missionary for Christ as such. You look at Acts chapter 26, we see Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. Now, the reason those three are important because those are the three places that Paul is given his ministry and where he's told to go off to the Gentiles. If you go back to Acts chapter 9, it's 9, it's 22, and 26. Those are the three places to show people Paul's calling as such. You look back at Acts chapter 9 and look at Verse 15. It says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen to Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. So that was what he was going to do. If you look at Acts chapter 22, we'll come back to those chapters in a few minutes, a bunch of times, believe me. You look at Acts chapter 22, and again, and you get it in detail. And you see some pretty interesting things in there. Verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. What is that? He talks about being in a trance, that sort of a thing. And then you go to Acts 26, and you get the big details, where he's even told in verse 18 his purpose to go to the Gentiles. Acts 26, to me, is the place to tell people even more than 9 and more than 22, because in 26, look at verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. That's a big verse right there. So Jesus Christ is going to meet with Paul, and he's going to show him some things. And he says in verse 17, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. He had to get him away from the Gentiles he was persecuting, and then send him right back to the Gentiles to preach to them. Why? Verse 18, classic verse for Paul. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And then verse 20. Now, if we want to see what our lives should be as a Christian today, there it is. Have we gone from darkness to light? And Paul talks to us about how we're supposed to not partake with the unfruitful works of darkness. How much of our lives have changed since we got saved? Do we still watch the same thing? Do we even watch the thing anymore? What kind of videos do we pull out? What kind of activities do we do? Where's our fun? Where's our entertainment? Is it any different than what we used to do before we were saved? I mean, it goes on, this list of preaching. And where's the grace? Well, there's grace, but he also tells us how to have our eyes open. He also tells us what the light is, how to see what we're supposed to see. And from the power of Satan unto God. That's Paul's ministry. That's why people don't like Paul, because it's actually supposed to change their lives. Okay, so those are the three places you can find out about Paul's testimony. Two of them are personal testimony, him talking to people. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts chapter 26. Those are very important to show people. Then, the fact that he said there in 26:16 that he's going to appear unto him, where did this take place? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 20. For example, these are some verses where Christ appeared to Paul. That's very important that we see that. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures this morning. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So this whole ministry of his was given to him from Jesus Christ. Okay? Is that enough? That's not enough to please people. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 15. And that goes all the way down to verse 28. And that talks about the fact that he will appear unto him, and he gets into his testimony, he explains it in detail. And when he's done, he's almost got King Agrippa convinced, not quite. And he says he went out to do what it was that Jesus Christ had told him to do. So we know that there's one of the places. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. No man told him what to preach here. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. Didn't have to go to Bible school to learn this, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, really, we can say the same thing. If we just weren't so lazy and confused with our previous teachings and so busy and stuff, that you don't have to go to an institute, you don't have to be taught by a man, you have your Bible. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are God's words. We can get everything we need from this Bible if it's what? Rightly divided. It all just fits into place. No private interpretation necessary. Do you know what trying to rightly divide this half of the verse and then this half of the verse, trying to get this to fit what you're teaching, you know what that is? That's private interpretation. There's no private interpretation when you read a rightly divided Bible. That's how he takes care of that. Isn't that amazing how simple that comes to be? People go to school to learn how to interpret their Bible, and they come out of there with incorrect interpretations. Totally. It's amazing. Okay, we looked at Galatians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 8, the last part of what he says about Jesus Christ being dead, buried, and the resurrection, rose again. He says he was seen of Cephas. Then the 12 saw him in verse 5. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So somewhere he got 500 people saw him after he was crucified. Isn't that an amazing thing? And that's all it says about it. 500 people is a pretty good crowd. At once, it says. After that, he was seen of James and all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So he wasn't there for that. He was there. He seen him afterwards. So there's a place. If we go to, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. See, we're showing people where the Scriptures say that Paul met with Jesus Christ. But see, the key here is you have to believe this Bible to be the Word of God. And if this is what you start off with that, everything falls into place. If they believed that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, He was their Christ, He was their Messiah, everything would have fallen into place. Well, they said they did believe, but they didn't believe very well, did they? Because they still left Him. And if they still went out and did what they had to do, so that part of it, it fell into place. But yeah, they were persecuted. Okay, we believe that Paul is the apostle. We believe this King James Bible is the Word of God. Everything's falling into place. Have you noticed? But the persecution is still there. The disappointment, the discouragement, the frustration of it all is still there. But everything fits. Even that fits in. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then he goes and says, I knew a man, all the way down. Verse 4, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So what he saw, what he heard, he couldn't tell us. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. Well, maybe he's talking about somebody else. He says that in there twice, but he knew such a man. And then when he gets done in verse 7, and he says, unless I should be exalted above measure, why would he say that? He must have been that man. So he says, I know such, you said that to people. I know somebody the other day that had a horrible headache. Da-da-da-da. And you don't want to tell anybody, but we know it's you. We have those kind of things that go on. He said the same thing. He gets all done with that whole thing and he says, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Well, wouldn't you think pretty highly of somebody who's been to see the Lord and returned? But yeah, we also know that Jesus says in Luke 16 that they didn't believe Moses. You're not going to believe anybody that comes back from the dead. So he won't let that happen. Somebody died and came back from the dead, I'll tell them that they weren't dead. Because when you're dead, you're dead. You're not going to come back from the dead. Jesus, why not? Because God won't allow it. You weren't dead. Well, I was out for... You were close to dead. What is it? Almost dead? Almost dead, but no, you're not quite dead. So, I can't imagine going up to be with the Lord in paradise and heaven tell these things, all the stuff you see, and to come back and to keep your mouth shut. I can't imagine that. Can you imagine that? Can't you almost do that with your Bible? Can't you read something and learn something in that Bible that is just spectacular stuff? How do you keep your mouth shut? Paul knew he was going to get in trouble when he came back. And he did. He got in big trouble all the time. Don't you want to tell somebody something that's just exciting? Especially if they're not going to partake in that sort of a thing. So anyway, so Paul experiences that. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, there's another one right there, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So we learn that from Paul. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, because they were still there to hear these things. And what is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Paul is going to show how Christ is bringing a Gentile not only to Christ, but back with who? Back with the Jews. And I got a chance to tell that to somebody the other day. I said, can you describe me a lost person? Well, a lost person is somebody's going to die and go to hell. What else? Well, I don't know. That's a lot. That's not quite the thing. Look at verse 12. Because see, when you were without Christ, you were without Christ. You have no hope. You were without God. Okay, we can deal with that. But it also, did you know that you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel? What? Yeah, that's what it says. So that's why the mystery of God that's revealed to Paul is actually so important. It's not only just about us getting the inheritance and being saved and going to heaven, as we say. It's the fact that we're put in the same boat now back with His people, and we can share that inheritance. So we're joint heirs with Christ. Not only with Christ, but who else? What He had for the Jews. Now that's well, I didn't know that. Well, that's what it says. He takes down that wall, a middle wall of partition in Ephesians 2:14. How many knew that when you were lost? I'm not part of the covenants of promise. I'm an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. They don't even like Israel today. Israel could have finished that thing off this last couple of weeks, and now they're going into a peace thing again. Ah, come on, guys, just pummel away, have a good time. But they don't. They're backing off. They don't understand this stuff. But God will be their form eventually. So anyway, those are some verses that show us where Paul and Christ met. That's very important. Because when Paul started off, he thought that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And Christ has taught him some more things. Now, here we go. These are a string of verses that talks about the fact that as Gentiles, we're to follow Paul. So what Paul writes, that's to us. Every one of those books that Paul writes to Gentiles is started off with what word? Paul. So we don't have to rightly divide verses. We rightly divide the books. What Paul wrote, that's to us. Here we go. Acts chapter, and we're going to go over some chapters we've read, but we're going to give you this long list, and it's a lot there. I don't know why there's such confusion, except they just don't want to do it. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Here we go. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So he had some time with the Jews at the beginning. So he was to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. Okay, here's another one, Acts 13:47. Who's out there this morning, Sam? Okay. Acts 13:47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. See, Paul has a commission, and it's to the ends of the earth. And that's why I call this the Greater Commission. It's not a biblical, it's just a phrase. There's a Great Commission, and I kind of thought everybody knew what the Great Commission was. I was kind of surprised that a lot of us didn't. But it's not a. But now that we make mention of it, it's everywhere, so everybody still believes that thing. Paul's got a greater commission, and it's to the ends of the earth, and it's to teach everybody what Christ has taught, but it's the risen Christ, which I'll show you here in a few minutes. Look at Acts chapter 26 again. Acts chapter 26. And we've talked about these verses a number of times. 16 to 20 is what I have referenced. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And then he goes on and describes the mission in detail. Look at verse Acts 28. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the risen Savior there, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He had a great time. You ever sit down with somebody, and this is one of the first times they've heard it, and they're seeing it, and they're getting excited, and they say some things? I'll tell you, it's a marvelous thing. It's nice to sit down and talk to somebody who's saved, who's lost, and they get saved. But you know, when you're, at least this is me, when you're done, you still don't know if they're saved. You don't know that. That's why I've always wished that our ears would turn green or the belly button would disappear, but I guess we never noticed that. So it'd have to be something on the outside. A lot of us, our noses would get smaller or something. Some visual sign that it took. Wow. Because you just don't know that. But when you're done talking to people about Paul, and you finally have to hang up the phone after a 3.5 hour conversation, that's why my ears are getting bigger on the left side, it's a marvelous thing. Because if they don't believe it, they will not last 3.5 hours. They'll last about 10, 15 minutes. They think you're just nutty in a fruitcake and you're done with them. But as you talk to them and they start to see this, and then they start telling you. So then in other words, it's a very exciting thing. So, this is what happens. The Jews departed. Paul dwelt 2 years, and no man forbid him. He must have just had a great time. But he had a hard time because he still had tears. Look at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. We have to have grace with those that we tell this to, because Christ had grace with us when he told us. And he still has grace to this very moment. But he also, remember, what comes with grace? Truth. We have grace with people. We need to do the best we can to show them something truthful about the situation, if at all possible. Why do I say if at all possible? Because I just don't like to light wars anymore. But you know, when you're around a situation, then you know there's grace, but you don't want to participate in it. You can either decide to participate and have grace, but no truth has been stated. You see what I'm saying? But if you're with somebody and they're doing something you try to get away from, you don't want to do this, it's one of those kind of things, you're going to have to say something. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm trying to get away from this. So let's da-da-da-da. And there's where the truth fits in. And you know how people like truth. They take it very judgmental. All you're saying to them is where you stand and what for you. And if we can do that, that's pretty good. Now we have to be careful, because when we want to tell people about how we're trying to change our lives and stuff, and we're trying to eat healthy and do right, and then you bring them a bunch of chocolate candy bars and stuff, see, that kind of ruins your testimony. And goes out the window. This is not to see if she's even listening down there, to see if she even gets this. I bet she doesn't even hear that. It's one of those pastoral tests that you do. How was your sermon, honey? Well, it's fine. You don't listen to him, do you? I do too. You got her. But I wouldn't do that. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office, not him, but his office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. Paul still had a concern for the Jews. Look at Romans 16, but it does say I'm the apostle of the Gentiles there. Romans 16. Romans 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, okay, that's the risen Savior, but if that doesn't work, look at the rest of that phrase, according to the revelation of the mystery. What's that? That's Paul. Oh, got that wrong? Okay. Rest Romans 6. I'm going to get back to this thing. According to the revelation of the mystery. So we're going to learn about Jesus Christ according to Paul, according to the revelation of the mystery. Do you see that there? Do you see that? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, of the gospel Jesus' teachings? No, according to the revelation of the mystery. That's Paul's revelation there. So we're going to learn what Jesus Christ said through Paul. That's a marvelous verse there. Does it make sense yet? I mean, that's pinpointing. We're going to be established according to what Jesus Christ taught to Paul. Because that's Ephesians chapter 3, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began. That's Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, and then he says, but now is made manifest. That's Paul. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of baptism. No, it says obedience of faith. So when somebody comes along and says, you need to be baptized because it's obedience to baptism, it doesn't say that. It says obedience to faith. So what's the first thing a Christian ought to do when he gets saved? Get baptized? No. We're never told that. He says we need to start living a life of what? Faith. Right off the bat, we start reading and trusting and believing and go by faith. To find a new Christian going by faith is he's reading his Bible, he's hearing the preaching, he's going to just trust what he hears, he's going to live a life of faith all of a sudden. And what are we told? We're told to be obedient to baptism. It doesn't say that anywhere. It just doesn't say it. Jesus was baptized to show himself to Israel. Is that your job? No. Paul baptized somebody, but he had to put his hands on him to get him to get the Holy Ghost. Do we have to do that? No. So we're not told that. We're told to start living a life of faith right from the start. Have you noticed how faith gets easier once you learn about the risen Savior? Once you learn about Paul, once you learn where to read in this Bible, your faith can start right then. But we just don't teach that to people. And they lose out on living a life of faith. Why should I stop doing that? Well, guys, okay. I'll trust him. I'll stop if I can. Our flesh is always going to fight us. We know that. Live a life of faith. What do you kids have to do with your parents? You have to have faith in your parents. You have to hope that they're going to take care. Aren't you glad they took you down to the doctor? Did you take them to the doctor or did you do your own stitching? No, you're not a home stitcher. Okay, aren't you glad? I mean, maybe mom is good. Louis, Dad, hold her down. And so, get the serger out. Put a nice little trim around it. And aren't you glad? You're trusting your parents to take you to the doctor if you need to go to a doctor. Have they ever come home and said, hey, fix your own meal there, honey? I'm sorry. Olivia? Caitlin? Go fix your own meals. No, they kind of take care of you. Now, they might let you fix your meals because they taught you how to do it, but they had to teach you how to do it. Here's an egg. Go fix an egg. What is an egg? Who's a little one, a really little one in here? Matthew. Here's an egg. Go fix me breakfast, will you? Well, do you mind breakfast on the carpet? Get there and suck it off the carpet. Boy, that's a good chicken, wasn't it, Dad? I mean, no, you trust in your parents to take care of you. Anyway. Romans 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here we go. More verses that we're to be looking at Paul. And when we look at Paul, we're actually looking at the Lord Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was given to Paul. These ought to be the convincing verses. I like that. Convincing verses. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The judgment seat of Christ. This is all about, it's sort of about Christ, but it says in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Oh, I have laid the foundation. Boy, that's important. I have laid the foundation. Is Paul the foundation? No, of course not. Jesus Christ is the foundation, as it says there. And another buildeth thereon. But see, Paul's the master builder. And we still have to get our foundation from Paul, which gives us the right Jesus. Because what does Paul warn about? Receiving another Jesus. So I tend to tell people, listen, if you don't realize that Jesus Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Christ from Paul's teachings, you might have another Jesus. And you receive another Jesus. It isn't just that you believe one, you receive another Jesus. Right? That's what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 4. That's what he says. And how many of us ever received another Jesus in our years in the past? Pretty scary. And this one guy, I talked to him on the phone the other day, he said, I like to ask people if they're saved or not. I said, I like to take a Christian and ask them if they know they've received the right Jesus. And he was kind of quiet. He said, well, so how do you know that? Well, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a scary thing. Is all that you're doing in your life as a Christian because you have another Jesus? Because isn't another Jesus like an Antichrist? Any Jesus? And isn't the ministers of the devil, aren't they ministers of righteousness? So I believe there'll be a lot of Christians out there that are doing the right thing, but they got another Jesus. They haven't got a Muhammad. They haven't got a Hindu and a Buddha and whoever those guys are out there, a Benny, they've just got another Jesus. And that Jesus is going to make them think they're doing what Jesus wants them to do. Before they're going to go to find out what Jesus wants them to do, but to the Great Commission, wonder how many people that follow in the Jesus of the Great Commission have another Jesus. Maybe they didn't get the real one. I think it's a strong possibility. Why else did you say that? What do you get when you look at what Paul did and you learn what Paul did and all this kind of... What do you receive there? It says that you have the God of peace. Philippians 4:9. You don't get the peace of God, you get the God of peace. I think salvation is dependent upon the King James Bible rightly divided through Paul. That's where you get the real Jesus. Yeah, but that's still the real Jesus that was in the... I know that. I'm not saying that. That was the real Jesus during the Gospels. But now he's died, went to hell, rose again, paid the penalty, came down, went to Paul. That's the Jesus that we want right there that went to Paul. And there's scriptures that say that. That's pretty tough. But you'll see it. You can struggle with that, but I think you'll see it over time as you read what Paul says. He laid the foundation. He laid the foundation of Jesus Christ. Not another Jesus. Anyway, that's kind of bunny trail. That's probably a congregation killer. But I think you'll see that if you haven't already started to see that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's look at that one. 1 Corinthians 4, 16. I really believe that these modern Bibles give you another Jesus. I'll say that. Because that's not the Word of the Lord. That's not the Word of truth. The word of truth is gospel of your salvation. If that's not the word of truth, you don't have the gospel of your salvation. You get another Jesus. And you receive him. Do you know that most of the troubles I've had in the ministry or however you want to put that thing are people that have had a Pentecostal background? Charismatic of some sort. A modern Great Commissionee, some sort kind of a thing. If I just look back at that and I realize, I'm starting to wonder if maybe the clash really wasn't me and my personality. Maybe it wasn't me and my pickiness. Maybe somebody just had another Jesus and they thought that they were doing right and saying right. And when it comes, you put the Bible in front of that stuff and they reject that. And we've had trouble. I've had trouble for years over that issue. I wonder if it isn't just because we have another Jesus involved here. Is it just a flesh issue? Is it just a mind issue? Or is it a spiritual war? What does he say in Ephesians chapter 6? It's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual operation you get when you have the real Jesus. Spiritual circumcision, right? It's an operation made without hands. I wonder if maybe somebody never had that operation. All sorts of things. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you go through that. Strange stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is that what I said? 16, verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who was my beloved son, obviously in the Lord, because he wasn't married, didn't have children, all this kind of talk that they think today, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. There it is, the risen Savior Christ, not Jesus, but Christ. Are you starting to see all the little clues in here, all these verses that talk about it's the risen Savior we need to learn from, and it's all Paul, salvation, all this stuff, how important it is? Who shall bring unto you remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So if Timothy is supposed to be the teacher here of Paul's ways, then where do we find Paul's ways according to Timothy's teaching? Duh. In Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy. So what should be taught in every church? 1 and 2 Timothy. That's why we're so short of preachers. it's a pastoral suicide series. To teach Timothy is legalistic, is hateful, it's judgmental, you hate women. I mean, the whole list comes along if you teach Timothy. It just does. If it's taught correctly, it's tough stuff. I'm still hesitating on part 3 of modesty. And it's about the guy, it's not about the lady. The teachings will expose a lady situation, but it's the guy that's going to get preached at. That's Timothy's stuff. I've been there before. It's not usually well received. It's hurtful. Don't mean it to be. It's totally out of season. I mean, you're looking around. This thing coming up is so out of season. It's like, I can't even explain how out of season it is. I might do it in my office on a cassette. Remember the Song of Solomon chapter 4? I printed it up and gave it to you. I can't preach this. Maybe I'll do that with this one. I don't know. Anyway. That's Timothy in everywhere in every church. What is to be taught? Paul's what? Ways. And that tells him we should go to Philippians 4:9 right after that one. Let's go right there to Philippians 4:9 for now. Because what did we find out in Philippians 4:9? He talks about his manner of life. What's his manner of life? Paul's ways. I hear music from heaven. I don't think so. Too much beat to it. No, it's not, no. Philippians 4:9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What are those? Paul's ways. It isn't just the do's, it's his ways. It's his ways of being, full of grace, full of mercy, truth, prayer, tears, long-suffering, mercy, change his voice, rebuke, reprove, avoid from such withdraw, don't partake, don't take heed to, have no company with, all those things, and then if you have to, ship them off to the world. Those are Paul's ways. That's what he says. And the God of peace shall be with you. So there you go. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. And Catherine, I still got your crosswords. I just remembered that. Ephesians chapter 3, a marvelous chapter. verse 1, 12 verses. So hang on there. Here we go. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, parentheses, you always talk quiet in a parentheses, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, unparentheses, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, you know, the people that the Jews hated, fellow heirs and of the same body, which he talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Boy, you would think people would want to hear this. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, that's the body of Christ, the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That's there for us in a King James Bible. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Period. There you go. That's marvelous stuff there. Look at chapter 6 of Ephesians, chapter 6. And for me, verse 20, at chapter 6, verse 20. Ah, that's not what I want. There it is, 19. And for me, okay, thank you. Boy, I panic still. Hate that stuff. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what that King James Bible does? You open up that King James Bible, and you can have made known to you the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that's in that Bible, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This Bible is a very bold book. It's there. But you got to open it up to get it. That's an utterance. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And sample. There he is. Look at chapter 4, verse 9. Better move along here. Chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would have ye know, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That pretty much fits with Ephesians. We just read that. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God teaching there. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the... Do you realize that most of what Paul preaches and teaches is to the brethren, is to Christians? Any of the disappointments he has, any of the hurts, any of the concerns, any of the changing of voice, he's talking to Christians here. The church is here for Christians. We don't have to adjust our church to bring in the lost. That's Great Commission. So actually, Paul is always pretty much teaching to Christians, to the brethren. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. Anyway, where am I at? What am I doing? 4-1, okay. I mean, it's just poof, it just disappears. My bunny trails hurt me more than it does you at all. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that's the risen Jesus, the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. He still tells us some things to live in our lives. Isn't that amazing? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught. Those are teachings, whether by word or our epistle. Chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, parents. That's a good example for us parents, how we behave. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. The way that those folks behaved was an ensample for other Christians to behave. The way us parents are supposed to behave will teach our kids a whole lot more than what we say we should have done. That kind of a thing. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. That's us. Paul is our pattern. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner. And you've heard me, I'll do it again. We have to stop and say the testimony of our Lord is that He existed in the Old Testament. He came down God manifest Himself on the earth in the flesh during the Gospels, died, rose again, went to Paul, gets done to the Gentiles, goes on to the Jews, comes back, second coming, Revelation 19, goes on and leads to eternity. That's the testimony of our Lord. That's the whole shebang right there. Got to remember that. Nor of me His prisoner. We have nothing to be ashamed of telling people that Paul is who we're trying to follow. Nothing to be ashamed of Paul. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For unto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's the place. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Consider verse 7. Consider what I say. This is Paul. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You want understanding? Read Paul's books. You want to know what's going on in this world today? Read Paul's books. You want to know what's going on in Israel with the economy, the whole spiel? You can read it from Paul. And God will give us an understanding if we consider what Paul says. We won't get an understanding if we apply the rest of that Bible to us. fact, we'll be caught up in this modern Christianity. And we won't even see it. Have you tried to tell somebody who's caught up in it? They can't see it. They don't know what you're talking about. Because they're not considering what Paul says. And the last one, 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, about that coppersmith guy, and strengthened me, that by me, that's Paul, the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul's the guy. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So, God takes this Paul guy, takes him out of the mouth of the lion. That's the devil was using him something fierce and turns him into the writer of the New Testament. That's amazing. That's just amazing. So when you think you're being a lousy, rotten, worthless, lying Christian, you're not even close to what Paul was. He was the worst of the bunch. He fought those battles all the time. Anyway, those are the verses. I'm sure there's more, but those are the verses I've found and put on the website in a list here. Show those to people. That's what you sit down and show them. It's for us as well.